And now, here in Zululand, we get the old clan with its old clan necklace. Old boys will be old boys everywhere, it seems.
Then there were the golden colored sheep called the insignia, which were worn only by the king. These sheep were so honorable that no one could swear a more serious oath than Yifulu the insignia. I swear by the queen's sheep.
Rather a nice oath, don't you think? I swear by the queen's sheep. But there is one burning question that everyone asks about Zulu beadwork. Don't they mean something? Don't they send letters to each other in beadwork? Well, the answer is both yes and no. Customs change or die out and go in and out of fashion with the seasons and the years. And so we ask one of the older members of that famous force, the Natal Mounted Police, what he heard about Zulu beadwork in his early days in the police some 40 years ago. And this is what he told us.
The present generation doesn't seem to attach so great importance to the difference of colors of beads and the different patterns that can be made as they did in the early days. Beads are used today as a decoration, as they are much more plentiful. The mothers and grandmothers of the present generation used the different colors and patterns to convey messages or to indicate personal feelings. This would appear to be due to the fact that beads in the older days were scarce and difficult to obtain. In different parts of the country, you would find different meanings for the same colors and patterns. So no one can pretend to know them all. Now, these are a few I noted myself many years ago, most of them to do with lovers and courtship. In those days, a girl would present to the man of her choice a string, usually of white beads, for a necklace. It was called Ipasi, and was the first such presentation to indicate that they were engaged to be married. Some of these necklaces have red beads interspersed with the white, and that was supposed to indicate that her heart was open to her man, and that her love was great. The most frequent pattern given by girls to their young men was the Isibebe, a small decorative pattern about 2 inches square attached to a necklace. You often see men walking around with 3, 4, or 5 of these necklaces, one on top of the other. If one of these is rather longer than usual, it is called Udonza Utando. They were sometimes 4 or 5 inches long and indicated great affection for him. Sometimes a particularly handsome young man would wear beads presented him by as many as 6 girls. But the one from whom he accepted a pattern mostly of white and a few red beads was the favorite. But love affairs did not always run smoothly, and if after a quarrel the girl decided to forgive and forget, she would send the young man a similar red and white token. Then, just before marriage, the girl would send her man a ring of black beads in token that she was ready to wear the isidwaba, the black skin skirt worn by married women. When a girl is not engaged to be married, they say, she wears beads only on one half of her head, threaded onto her hair. It was only when she became engaged that she would cover her whole head with beads. There was also another rather charming little bead custom, a kind of valentine, when a girl would send her lover a decoration of beads wrapped up in a fresh mealy cob leaf as a kind of midsummer day gift.
Well, there's an account of Zulu beadwork some 30 or 40 years ago. It seems correct to assume that the bead patterns mean most to those who send and receive them, sentimental tokens, tokens of affection and esteem, but not letters in the sense of written words. Of course, when a woman wears a bead pattern, whatever colors or shape it may be, it contains no message, but is merely decorative. You know, you can hardly ever buy a neck pattern from a Zulu man. Naturally, he would treasure his tokens of affection. Quite apart from the wigging he'd get if his girl found him selling her love letters. Who wouldn't? So if you want to buy them, always ask the woman to sell. It would be more tactful, perhaps. And now, before we go on, by way of an interlude, Masinga is going to help me tell you a little native story about beads. There was once a baboon who came down from the hills and walked into a village. There he found a girl threading beads. And so he sat down beside her to talk to her. Presently she found some of her beads were missing. And she said, Gudo, you've stolen my beads. And he said, what, me? Never. So the baboon sang this little song, which translated means, you people down at the stream, hurry back here. You people cutting wood, hurry back here. This little girl says I'm a robber. Look in my hands. Not there. Look in my toes. Not there. Look in my ears. Not there. Then where can they be? And here is the baboon's song. It went something like this. Dinde guiram bira, hiri hende.
Dinde guiram bira. Dinde guiram bira, hiri hende.
Dinde
guiram bira. Dinde guiram bira, hiri hende. Dinde guiram bira. Dinde guiram bira, hiri hende. Dinde guiram bira.
Dinde
Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira,
Ingandi Wawa, Ingandi Wawa,
Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira, Dinde
Mahobiangu, Ingandi Wawa,
Dinde
Wawa, Ingandi Wawa,
Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira,
Dinde Gurambira,
Dinde Gurambira, Dinde Gurambira.
So the baboon got up and stalked off. But all the time, the beads were tucked into his cheeks.